Thursday, September 1st, we woke up to an assortment of headlines. Democratic Policy Committee recommends moving troops out of Europe. Apparently it was unanimous, with such names as Dick Russell and Russell Long on it. And of course, no surprise, Mike Mansfield. This at a time when the ratio of Russian troops in Europe was something like 5 divisions to our 1. It was rather like playing poker with a deadly adversary and showing him your hand before you began betting. Then a story in the New York Times with details about a proposed tax measure, including removing a 7% credit for plant expansion. All the details were known to only 2 or 3 people. How did the story get in the paper? Third, there was the complete roster of names of members of the President's Club. It was one of those days when the greatest courage is to get out of bed and start tackling the day's work. I spent the morning working at my desk, and then with Liz and Bess, and about noon went over to Lyndon's office to pick up 2 lovely antique English silver vegetable dishes that he had bought for wedding presents. Or rather, he'd asked Trudy Fowler to look for him some antiques. She had found several, and he'd chosen these for Margie McNamara. We had them engraved in a lightning job, and they were ready and delivered to the house by 4 o'clock, along with a note I wrote. I talked over our California trip with Liz over a hamburger in my bedroom, and then I had a long session with Lynell Aikman of the National Geographic, who is doing the script for the new book, The Living White House, giving her some anecdotes about our life here, particularly Linda's and Lucy's part. There was only 1 good thing in the paper today, and that was a delightful picture of Lucy carrying an enormous grocery basket, which they said totaled $30.13, causing Pat to wince. Lucy's whole behavior reminds me of Clark Clifford's estimate of the wedding. The only thing we could have done to make it better, he said, was to plan it for the summer of 68. I dressed in the yellow ensemble that I had worn to Lucy's wedding, and Linda was lovely in an olive green silk with a mantilla, very elegant and Spanish looking. And at the last moment, Lyndon joined us. I rejoiced that he did, but I did not try to push him. It was in the little Bethlehem chapel at the National Cathedral, and as we got out of the car, I could see the 2 tanned young Senators Kennedy, Bobby and Ted, without their wives, coming in behind us. This time we sat on the 2nd row, a pleasant relief. Ceremony was beautiful, dignified, and lasted exactly 14 minutes. I could just hear Lyndon saying, "This is Bob McNamara's way of doing things. Why didn't you do ours this way?" Margie is so slight. She was very lovely, accompanied only by her sister. We picked up Hubert, who rode with us to Tracy Place for the reception, which was a happy mixture of cabinet, old friends of the 2 families, a very few from the legislative branch, and Margie and Barry's young college friends. Everyone gravitated to the garden, and there was a perfect spot for wedding pictures. Against the garden wall, surrounded by shrubbery and flowers, a mirror, the perfect frame for the bride and groom to stand, and you could see Margie's dress from the back as well as the front. Linda stayed longer. She was having a good time. And I was beaming because I like to share family times. And there's nobody in the government that I admire more than Margie and Bob for their wholesomeness, their intelligence, tough devotion to their jobs, and their sense of fun. It was nearly 6 o'clock when we left. Lyndon to go back to his office, and I to sign mail and send a little birthday letter to Liz. I worked and worked, and time passed, and Lyndon did not come home to dinner. I made a call or two. He was with a congressman in his little office. Finally, at 11 o'clock, I had a piece of steak, this for my diet. And a little later, got a call. Wouldn't I come over to Lyndon's office? I put on a robe and went. There he was, with about 6 men, among them Congressman Albert, looking very weary. Joe Califano, still looking bouncy. Carl told me he just didn't see how Lyndon could do it, for Lyndon was in excellent form. The running fire conversation of the problems that faced the Congress and what they could do about them and what he hoped they would, sprinkled with a lot of humor, I thought of how the day had begun, the deep morass of problems, as we read the morning paper, and I thought, this man deserves what he gets in terms of achievement. There's certainly no royal road to it. It's work, work, work. I implored the men to come and eat stuffed peppers and black-eyed peas and cornbread and buttermilk just before 12, got the three of them to sit down, Carl, Joe Califano, and Lyndon. The rest melted away for a very country dinner, and then for Lyndon, night reading, and for me, sleep.